Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
I did a couple weeks ago, we're going to start from near the bottom, since now, you know, we're coming to the end of the year, starting the new year. We've pretty much done all the beginning of them, but we haven't started the end or been able to go through because of our time. So I'll start with 18. It says, chasing thy son, seeing there is hope, and set not thy heart on his destruction. A man of great wrath shall bear the penalty, for if thou deliver him, thou must not do it again. Yet again. Goes on to say, her counsel, and seek her counsel, and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. I think, with these couple of verses right here, talking about, you know, everybody pretty much, you know, has to go through it, you know, that period of you know, learning what's right and what's wrong. Sometimes us being young men, you know, we like to be hard-headed. We don't like to do things that aren't our way. But it comes to a certain point where, you know, you realize that this stuff, you know, came in for a reason, happened for a reason, and, you know, it helps us become men and better as men to understand what's right and what's wrong and stuff. I think sometimes, like I said, you know, you don't want to do it, but you have to. And I think it's key in certain people growing up, you know, some people, because of some people, like, why do they act so weird? Why don't, you know, their parents do this, their parents do that? You know, sometimes you have to dare to rise, like they say in the Bible. And, you know, it might make your days a little bit longer. That's what I think most people say. But
first of all, good morning, everybody. First of all, I'm going to start, and I'm going to kind of, like, disagree with the ending part. And, you know, sometimes you say you got to spare a lie. Well, the Bible tells us if you spare a lie, you spoil the child. Therefore, I believe there's a lot of our youngest in the, I got whooping, so I'm going to say after, like, 92. These kids are after 92, you know, that's what lacks in some of our communities and or place in our children, because, you know, nowadays parents are friends. You know, back in the day, you know, my parent wasn't my friend. She was my parent. He was my parent. You know what I mean? So I think that, you know, discipline is necessary. You know, I preached on preached a while back, probably about a year now, and I came from the subject painful but necessary. Things in our lives that, you know, we have to go through certain situations, even as young men. Sometimes we have to go through situations and we have to be able to bear it out on our own. You know, God is always with us. That's no question. So therefore, I'm talking about the physical sense of your parents babying you, or if you get into some trouble, your parents going to try to let you know, oh, it's not that bad. It is what it is. And, you know, discipline, like I say, it lacks in our generation, in our community. And then we want to talk about the spiritual sense. We all need spiritual discipline because it helps and shapes and mold us to the people that God needs us to be. That's just as if when the parent disciplines a child, the parent does not want to discipline the child. The parent doesn't want to see the child cry. But at the same time, they're preparing them for this real-life world, because there are some people out here that is not going to play with you. If the parents do not discipline the youngin, somebody will. And 9 times out of 10, it's the law. And see, when it gets there, then we ask the question, well, what happened? Was he this? What happened? Why did this happen? Is that no fault from the other? See, now, their discipline, if it's in our churches, hello, if it's in our workplaces, it's in our everyday lives. As men, we need structure, we need order, and discipline. So I believe that if we had a little more, spiritual discipline, then we'd be all right. Because when you're discipline always doesn't mean to, you know, look. It's an after fact. It's a reason for the discipline, that when you get in that situation once again. And see, that's what I always like to say. Okay, you get disciplined, right? And you might do it again. But what I like about it is the fact that you thought about it. And at the end of the day, I have to choose that. Is this worth it or not? You still might do what you did before, but the fact that you sit there and think about it is what it is. So I believe that, you know, you can't spare the rod because you're a spoiled child. You don't want a spoiled child. You want a child that'll be able to live life in this world. This world that we see today, we see that, you know, it's not a lot of discipline. It's a lack of respect. So I think when you talk about discipline, you know, it's not always about beating or, but it's a reason for those. So that there you will have the respect and manners or whatever you need to have to get through in life. Any comments, add-ons, different interpretations, all lines are open.
All right, if not, I'm going to go to verse 20. Verse 20 is just basically reiterates what we just talked about. It says, listen to the advice and accept discipline. And at the end, you will be counted among the wise. You know, as you were talking, I was thinking about, you know, sports and stuff. And I think, you know, as we growing up, you know, if you participate in sport, for instance, that, you know, you always had your fundamentals.
Mm.
And that's what the coach always told you to do. You like, a tough situation, but you do it, even if it's difficult, you go to your fundamentals. That's, you know, 1, 2, 3, go. Those are the things that you use at the end of the day to get you through certain situations. I think if we as Christians, you know, even if then, you know, sometimes we got to swallow our pride and go to our fundamentals. Ooh. We got to go back to where we started from, you know. It might hurt. You know, I like I said, you know, a couple times, so I think I used that example, you know, I was cooking on the grill, and the bottom of the grill fell up. And, you know, everybody called me the chef, and I said, I'm supposed to be the brain, you know, all the great stuff they want me to cook and everything. But what happened is something that I couldn't avoid. And I had to go back to my father to ask him to help me. You know, I had to swallow my pride. You know, I ain't the greatest. You know, I was like, look, I need your help before we burn the house down. You know what I'm saying? And I think sometimes we got to come to the realization that things happen for a reason. But at the same time, if you have the option, or even like we were talking about, you have the option of even being refurbished or pre-owned, you know, you want to go with the better option. So if you have help, you know, don't sit there and look, you know, crazy and stupid, wind up hurting yourself or wind up doing something wrong or burn the house down. Go get some help, you know. Go back to your fundamentals, you know. Some people, they may not have a father figure in their life. Go ask your mother. Go ask for some guidance, you know. You said discipline should come from the church. So, when you come, you listen to the word of the pastor. And I was looking at a video yesterday, you know, trying to get back into bond thing. C.D. Jakes, he was talking about a situation where he was like, you know, in the Bible, how they had talked about all these commandments. He's talking about love, charity. And he said, those are the greatest. He said, you ain't got to worry about nothing else. You love your neighbor, you love God. You know, two easy things that you can do, and they're simplified. You know, those will be your fundamentals. That's our fundamentals, for real.
I like what you said, man. You know, that a preach. Go back to your fundamentals. You know, man, we think about fundamentals, man. These are some of the things that, the first things that you were taught. You know, when you talk about basketball, and even going to talk about basketball, one of the greats that just in time, you know, Tim Duncan, is called the great fundamental. And the Spurs, you look at the Spurs, kind of we kind of going on, but I'm gonna bring it all back, bring it right back. See, they won championships for a reason, even though that they played. Look at some of the teams that they played. Young teams and they were victorious, and people like look at the physicals and say, oh, these guys are old.
Yeah.
These guys
30, 40 something years old.
And they don't have what it they running against 21, 22, 23. They don't have what it takes. But when they go back to the fundamentals, that's what we always have to do. When when it gets too crazy, as Brother Anthony said, go back to what we know. See, what we're too busy doing is we're trying to keep up the things that are going on in this world. See, the things that are going on in this world won't keep going. Won't keep going. Won't keep going. And if we don't have the right guidance from God, we got to go back to our fundamentals. See, that'll preach. We got to go back to our fundamentals and knowing what we were taught, what we were instilled, that by all means, if you get to go back to this, we will be all right. But too many times that we look at other people's game, and we want to ball like them, and we want to do this like them, and we want to, there's no more originality. So therefore, we have to be able to block out all of the things that are going on and get back to what we know, our quiet place, where we're on our face, stay in front street, give us God's sake. See, sometimes we ain't always got to go to God with a problem. We ain't always got to go to God with a problem. All right, good morning, God. Good morning, God. Have a good day, God. See, this is how, you know, we can sit there and talk to God. We don't always have to go to God with terrible news. Oh, Lord, I'm calling in harmony, and I know how I ask you for help. Why we always ask you? Sometimes, even people, sometimes we, especially men, some of us men, we just don't know how to receive gifts because we're always the one giving. You don't want to always be the one giving. Sometimes you want to do some type of receipt. So what we have to do is that, you know, stick back to what we know. Even if the world, I mean, because the world is crazy. There's some people out here, you know, that's under the influence of the devil and his demons, and there's some crazy things going on in this world. But what we should do is just go back to our fundamentals, and the greatest fundamental is the Word of God. The greatest fundamental is the Word of God. The greatest fundamental is your testimonies, your walks with God. These are the great fundamentals, and I'm stuck on the word fundamentals because I like how you use that. And so after we have done everything in our power, go back to our fundamentals. Any comments, battles, different interpretations, all lines open. Good first.
Good morning, everybody. I kind of came in late on the conversation. My apologies for that. But I know you guys have been talking about discipline and fundamentals and things of that nature. And I kind of was hearing, you know, when Minister Jamal was talking about discipline doesn't always mean being whooped, or that's part of discipline is being whooped. I think sometimes that, for me anyway, I think that the word discipline is always associated with something that means, whoopings or things of that nature. But see, I think where people get that little confused is that discipline, the whooping or the beating isn't, that's, I gotta explain it. That's teaching you the discipline in a sense of this. You know, when people say, I was disciplined as a child, and they always refer to it, my mom's whooped me. Your mom's whooped you so she can, or your father whooped you to put the discipline in you, if you can understand what I'm saying. The discipline wasn't the whooping. The discipline is what you're supposed to have learned from the whooping. That's the discipline. And when people say, you know, so it's about, you know, what you learn and to keep the discipline. And then you're right, you know, and you go back to your fundamentals, what you learn, you know, and that's what being disciplined means, you know. Like when they say being in the army, or when people being in the military, I always refer to them that they're very disciplined. It's that discipline is only because you train and you train and you learn and you learn. And now when it's time to put that into action, you're disciplined to know this is what I need to do. This is what I need to go to. This is what I need to do. And so you're right. You know, you're going to make mistakes through life, and sometimes you're going to repeat the same mistake. But that is where the discipline comes in. To not repeat the same mistakes. And then that's when you learn that you have discipline, because you're not repeating yourself. So, you know, I just wanted to add that part in. But I think you guys are hitting everything real good, and with the fundamentals, and you always got to go back. You always got to go back to remember sometimes you know, what it is that I learned from this, or what it is that my mind still instilled in me, or what it is that God, the fundamentals of the Bible, to lead my way and things of that nature. So I just wanted to say that.
I definitely agree, and I definitely like the way you put it, man. And, you know, if we refer back to the scripture, man, you know, a wise man loves discipline. He loves it, right? Because he knows that there is something greater coming out of it. See, a fool going to say, oh, man, you know, you just cramping my style. Gee, you just, you know, you just want to tell me everything, or, you know, you think you know everything, but the wise man says yes, because when the discipline comes, that means that I'm close to what I'm accomplishing, and why you're getting a whoop. So you can understand that, you know, when you get in that situation again, it won't be, you won't make the, okay, you might still make the wrong decision, but at the end of the day, the fact that you thought about it. And like I said, a wise man, you know, I said, like, Brother Andrew, I come to him and say, hey, bro, you know, you got to get better on them hymns, man. You got to do this, man. You got to do that. You got to do that. Get better on them keys, man. See, a wise man going to say, oh, that. What way you think I should go about it? Should I take it up when I'm going down, or should I go down when I'm taking it up? You know, so that's what a wise man says. But, you know, if Brother Anthony was a fool, he would say, man, mind your business and stick to the drum. I ain't telling you how to left, right, left, left, right, left. So don't tell me how to go down and up. So that's very important. That's very key. And know that, you know, constructive criticism only is from somebody that, you know, has been down the same road that you have been down before. And they know, you know, the necessary key point to whatever mistake that you made. Brother Anthony?
I definitely agree with that, you know. It's a situation where, you know, when I used to be in high school, I used to be a chef and everything. When I was working at the place, what happened is, you know, once you, the big goal was, you know, to make it to Pasha and then push it to grill, and after, you know, you're the grill and you're the head of the whole operation pretty much. So when I made it there, you know, certain things were going on, and, you know, the things that they taught us were our fundamentals of how to work, how to prepare, how to handle, learn ahead and everything. But the one thing was, you know, about using the knives and using certain cutting skills that you have. Well, what happened is, you know, after a certain time, you would do your fundamentals and you would work with it and you would do it and you would do it. And over time, you know, your hands would take a beating because, you know, you're using your hands a lot and you're cutting a lot with the knife. So you would have blisters and everything. So basically what would happen is sometimes, you know, some people, they wouldn't use their fundamentals of how to cut and how to properly hold your hand and with the knife and use your knuckles, and they would wind up cutting themselves. And, you know, I think in life sometimes, you know, if we don't go back to our fundamentals, we wind up hurting ourselves. You know, we can wind up things that we know and we know that we should be doing and we don't do, you know, they wind up hurting us in the end. I think it's the situation, even like, you know, when you have discipline, like you were saying, Mike, is a thing where when you have discipline and you exercise discipline, that's the whole goal of having it. You know, it's like, why go through this process and not use what's given to you? You know, it's kind of redundant and it doesn't make any sense at all. So in that situation, you know, there's things where certain things could go wrong, certain things could go good. But if you use your fundamentals and you keep everything on key, you know, keep everything at home, then it's going to be good. I'm going to go to a couple different verses. Keep going. I'm going to go to the next couple verses. It says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. What a person desires is unfailing love, better to be poor than life. The fear of the Lord leads to life, then one rests content untouched by trouble. I think these verses right here, what do you think about this? Say that one more time. I'm going to read it one more time. It says, many are the plans of a person's heart, but the Lord's purpose that prevails. It's the Lord's purpose that prevails. A person desires unfailing love, but to be poor than a liar. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and one's rest untouched by trouble.
I believe that, you know, these couple of verses, God is telling us about, you know, first of all, right, it's better to be poor, not add now, than be a liar, because I can't trust you now. Without trust, there's no relationship. So I'd rather, let's just say this, right? Let's just say, you know, okay, I'm going to use my relationship for example. I'm going to listen to a young lady, you know, and I'd rather her right now to be struggling looking for a job as it is, for me calling her and saying, oh, where are you? And she tell me one place and not for me to trust her. So I believe that, you know, and it's like this, right? Just like every, you know, in every great relationship, there has to be trust. Because if there's no trust, then there's no relationship, like I said earlier. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people out here, we're not trusting God. So that's very much showing us that we really don't have a relationship as we say it. See, now, you could say, okay, that's just, I'm going to just ask you, would you rather have somebody say, man, I ain't got no money, than somebody say, man, I don't know where your money went at, and the money is in their pocket?
I'd rather have,
I ain't got it. You know what I'm saying? Rather than, and then, you know, a lot of us have plans for our lives, but only God's plan prevails, and the only reason of that is because God knows where we have to be when we need to be there. God knows that, okay, yeah, you want to play basketball. That's what you want to do. You're 6'7", you got the height and the talent, but this is what I need you to do right here. If we look at, a rapper, he's out of early 90s, Mace. He's a bad boy, you know, bad boy for life, you know what I mean? And, you know, he, next thing you know, he a preacher. And people are concerned, oh, how you be, oh, first of all, your name was Murder Mace, and boom, 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 you talking about shooting my thing, killing all that. Now you are preaching the word of God. That's what that verse is explaining. Because, see, it doesn't matter. And you see a lot of preachers. If you look at their track record, you will see how true that verse is. Because, see, some of them were career criminals. Some of them were career drug dealers. Some of them were, you know, just whatever. God had a better plan. What you think about that verse, Brother Mike? Because, you know, you gave us different insight on that, on that, on that earlier verse, so. Got some insight on that verse?
Hold on. Yeah. For me, reading the verses, for me, what I take for it is that, you know, it says, what a person desires is unfailing love. Everybody want to be loved. Like, that's the, you know, everybody in life want to be loved. But the only person that, I won't say the only person, but one of the, I would say the only person that can give you unfailing love, because at any point in your life, whether you're loved, because, you know, you're going to go through loves and y'all going to have arguments, but unfailing love is God itself. So he's the only one that can give you unfailing love. So what it's saying is that it's better to be, when it says better to be poor than a liar, I mean, I'd rather give all my love to God and live humbly than to lie to myself and lie to God. You know, that's not a good life. You know, and then it says to fear the Lord leads to life. And for me, it means like, and I go back to that verse where it says it's better to be poor than a liar. So if you're lying to God, I mean, you know, like they say, the devil lies. So you're probably living a good life. You're living that sin. You know, you're doing all the things you want, and you think your life is good. But you're really lying to yourself because you're lying to God. You're lying to yourself. So the poor person who's content, then one rest content, untouched by trouble. If you're content in your life, you know, you give your everything to God, you give your trust in God, God's going to make sure that you have a good life. I mean, you might not have the riches, you might not have the cars, you might not have the big home, but you're going to be free from all the stuff that comes with that. You know, you're going to have a good life. You're going to get a good wife. You're going to have a good family. You're going to have a good job and a good roof over your head, and you're going to go through life happy, as opposed to the person who's lying to God, who has all the wealth, who's living a life of sin. Yeah, they having fun, but what are they getting? You know, they out here getting, you know, babies all over the place, or STDs, or living a fast life, getting people getting shot or getting shoot at. Like that's a hectic life. Who wants to live that type of life? I'd rather live the life that's simple. I'd rather live the poor life, you know, and enjoy myself with the love of God, with the love of my companion by my side, or children by my side. So when I read those verses and I put it together, for me, that's what I take. I'd rather be a poor, content individual with the love of God in me than to be a liar, a person who's not content, a person who living a good life but not the life of Lord, not the life of goodness. So for me, that's what I mean.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
May the benediction to go on now. I mean, ain't nothing behind that, man. I got nothing to say for real.
The only thing that I got to say about that, you know, is before we close, is that, you know, you had talked about lying to God. You can't lie to God, you know. And I think sometimes in certain situations, you know, as old people say, you know, they just say, you say, Lord, you know, in certain situations. And I like what you said about being humble, too. So that's all I got to say about that.
You said the devil is a liar. Hey, God, I ain't got nothing else to say, God.
All right, that's it. We got to stop.
All right, you want to close down? Father God, in the name of Jesus, we want to say thank you, Father. Thank you for Brother Mike's interpretation, Father God. We want to thank you for, Father God, all the men that commit themselves to the line, dedicate themselves to the line, Father God. We ask you, Father God, that you just stay true to your word as we know you are, Father God, because your word tells us that if we send all the praises to you, Father God, that you'll draw all men unto you, Father God. So that's what we're continuing to do, is lift your name up, Father God. Bless your name, praise your name, Father God. All praises to you, Father God. We just want to say, Father God, be in our church services, Father God, wherever they may be, Father God. We ask you, Father God, to be with us now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.